And the gap between science and spirit, I think, is going to close.
Welcome to The Lavender Lifestyle, the podcast on personal growth and lifestyle design. My name's Eileen, and I'm here to guide you to become a master artist of life. Every Sunday, you'll get new insight and inspiration on how to create your dream life. After the episode, the conversation continues in our Lavender Lifestyle Facebook group, so I can't wait to see you there. Life is an art. Make it your masterpiece. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Lavender Lifestyle. It's your host, Eileen. Today I'm going to interview an author that I admire and respect and who's also a ton of fun. So it's Teresa Chung, and I've actually had her on my podcast before. If you go to episode 50, you can listen to our first interview together. But I just love her so much. Her energy is so great. How we first got connected is also a fun story. It was when I was in high school. The local bookstore in my town was going out of business, as they do. And I was looking through like the clearance section, and I found this book called The Element Encyclopedia of Birthdays, which has a page for each day of the year describing the horoscopes and all that stuff based on your birthday. And I loved that kind of stuff. So that book became a staple that I would always go back to for fun. It's something that I would share with all of my friends and help everyone look up their birthdays. I also ended up getting another book by her, which is the Element Encyclopedia of 20,000 Dreams. And I have that on my iPad. And there was a time when I would dream dreams, and like in the morning, I would look up what those dreams meant, just looking up the symbols and stuff. And that was pretty fun. So fast forward to sometime last year, I just looked at my book on the shelf and I was like, I wonder who this lady Teresa Chung is. Let me try to look her up. Let me try to see if we can get her to come on my podcast. So that's what we did. And after meeting her or getting to talk to her online, I just fell in love with her energy. You would think that by the type of books that she writes, you know, the very spiritual, about angels and dreams, like you would think that she's kind of like a up in the air, strange lady, but she's actually a very real, down to earth woman who has such a passion and zest for life. She is just so cool. She is constantly learning and exploring. So to give you a little more background on Teresa Chung, Teresa is a Sunday Times best-selling author in the fields of spirituality, dreams, the science of the paranormal, angels, and the afterlife. Born into a family of spiritualists, she has over two decades' experience, both personal and professional, and a master's degree in theology and English from King's College, Cambridge. So today we're talking about Teresa's two newest books. One is called The Premonition Code, and the other is called Rituals. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about where spirituality meets science, because that's what she's trying to do with her book, Premonition Code, and it's so fascinating. I would say keep an open mind. Take a listen to this interview, fall in love with Teresa, and maybe you'll learn a thing or two. Hi, Teresa. Welcome back to the Lavender Lifestyle.
Hello, Lavender. I'm really happy to be here.
I'm excited to have you on again. And this time we're talking about your two new books. You're quite busy, aren't you? Like writing two books.
That's just the half of it. I've done loads more as well.
I'd
talk to you about that at the end if you want, if you've got time.
Oh, definitely. I'd like to hear what else you're working on.
Thank you.
Let's talk about The Premonition Code and Rituals. As an author, how did you decide on what books to write? Like, where did your inspiration come from for these books?
Well, as you know, I'm a spiritual writer, write about all topics, New Age, and it's actually just developing my journey in a way. One of the criticisms I've had as a paranormal author or psychic development author or New Age author is, where is the science? Mm-hmm. What you talk about is all personal, anecdotal, but there's no science. So in The Premonition Code, I thought, right, I'm going to team up with one of America's top neuroscientists, Dr. Julia Mossbridge. This woman has been published in the American Psychological Association Journal. She, you know, knows her stuff. And we're going to examine whether precognition is a reality. And if it is, what exercises you can do to develop it. So in a way, this book is to answer some of the critics that I've had over the two decades I've been writing. Where is the science? This wouldn't hold up with scientists. And I hope that this book, Premonition Code, does.
Right.
It's not like my other books. My other books are much more comforting because I tend to come from a personal perspective and have reader stories. And we talk about it from a very sort of spiritual level. This book is scientific.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a marriage between science and spirit. And that's why some of my readers might be almost a bit alarmed, because we're going into physics here. We're going into things that we would have learned at school and maybe have forgotten. Is time travel possible? How can we see the future if it hasn't happened yet? All these questions.
Yeah.
And what scientists have been studying about precognition. And we've tried to put it in the book. So if you read this book, you will know more about the science of precognition than any person on the planet, because we've tried to gather all the studies and as much information as we can together. And my role really was to try, and I hope I did, to make the science understandable. Because I'm not a scientist. I was very much an artist at school and a spiritual writer and thinker. I figured if I could understand it, I hope other people can when they read it.
Yeah. Well, I'm also curious how the book came to be. Did you approach Dr. Julia Mossbridge about the topic, or did she already have interest in this topic? How did you connect? Like, did you approach the book as a scientific experiment as well?
Yes.
Like, you weren't sure what results you would get? What was that process?
Well, Dr. Julia Mossbridge, I must tell a bit about her. She is the expert, one of the world experts, I would say, in precognition, and she studies the possibility of seeing into the future, time travel. She's also an expert on dreams and transcendent states. And her book, Transcendent Mind, was published last year by the American Psychological Association and created a bit of controversy because it was the first academic book of its kind to acknowledge the possibility that you can, that we are separate from our bodies, that our spirit can exist separate from our bodies, that we can have transcendent state.
Yeah.
So she's quite something. How I got in touch with her is that about 4 years ago, when I first went online, I hadn't been online before. I was just very much a writer. One of my readers encouraged me to start going on Facebook or whatever. And the criticism I got, where is the proof? Where is the science? Mm-hmm. So I went on a search to try and find the science to back up some of these things that I write about, which is near-death experiences, which is having visions or premonitions or intuition that saves your life, these kind of stories. And I wanted to find out where science is at. And I found the Institute of Noetic Sciences in the States, which is the lead scientist there is Dr. Dean Radin. And he has a team of seven scientists, of which Dr. Julia Mossbridge is one. And they are studying scientifically consciousness or paranormal experiences. And I found that absolutely riveting. So I invited them to talk on my page about their research. Mm-hmm. And the reaction on my page was amazing. People did actually want to know about the science of the paranormal. For example, if you've had a dream of a departed loved one, what does science say about that? Mm. If you've had a vision and then 3 or 4 days later that vision comes true, what is going on there? Near-death experiences, afterlife encounters, these are all... Science is now actually starting to study all this as data. I found that very interesting. And because I have written a best-selling book on dreams, The Element Encyclopedia of 20,000 Dreams, obviously I was drawn to Dr. Julia because she's their dream. She has a dream database there and she studies dreams, premonitions in dreams. Yeah. And the two of us just kind of clicked, really. And I asked her to do an interview for my website. And then this idea came up. Let's try and put all your amazing science, which is currently hidden in scientific and academic journals. People don't know about it. Let's try and make it accessible in a book for the general reader. And at the same time, let's conduct a global scientific experiment into the reality of precognition.
Wow.
And www.thepremonitioncode.com is doing just that. It's totally free of charge. Dr. Julia Mossbridge is in charge of the training there. And it's a place where people can go to record their premonitions, to do training in how to be more precognitive, and precognitive means the ability to see the future. If that's possible, we don't know. We're not knowing 100%, but there are a lot of people who have precognitive experiences that come true. And this website wants to collate that data and study it. So when people read the Premonition Code and go onto the website to answer the quizzes and try the exercises, they are actually taking part in a global scientific study into the reality of precognition. And we believe this is the first of its kind to do that. We're kind of like leading the way.
Yeah. And they're still figuring it out.
Yes.
They're still doing the tests and studies. Wow. Oh my goodness. I get goosebumps hearing about this because I think you are so at the forefront of connecting science with consciousness, spirituality, all of these things that we intuitively know of but cannot scientifically explain yet. And this is just like bridging the gap. And it's so exciting to hear. It's crazy.
It's scary as well. I mean, the criticism you get, I found from both parts, actually, because I represent, in the book, I'm kind of representing the spiritual approach. And Dr. Yes. Julia, who is probably the dominant voice in the book, actually, is representing the scientific thing. Because I thought, well, I've written loads of spiritual books out there. Mm-hmm. This is a time for science to have its voice and see if we can kind of marry the two. And I've had criticism because my readers say, it's very difficult to understand and everything like that. It's not as comforting as your usual books. But I say that's exactly what I wanted. I wanted this book to make a statement to say, all these years I've been writing about the paranormal. I've been writing about spirituality. I've been collecting reader stories. I've been interpreting dreams, tarot, astrology, all these things I've been writing about, but I've only written about it from an anecdotal, personal perspective. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to bring in the science. And Julia, of course, the scientific community is like, what are you doing? In a way, you know, this lady writes about angels and astrology.
Yeah.
So she's a remarkably brave lady to do what she does.
But she must be so brave.
If you follow Dr. Julia, she does amazing things. I mean, she's a true scientist because she lives the spirit of experiment. She has an open mind.
Wow.
And I just wish every scientist was like her, really, that she will try and she will experiment and she'd be open-minded to trying new approaches. And she, of course, wants to get her research out there because her research into precognition has really made important breakthroughs. Mm-hmm. Some of her research shows that the body, for example, through raised heart rate or increased sweating, can predict an event before it happens, before it knows it's going to happen, that the body has some kind of precognitive ability. And she's done studies on that, which, as I say, published in scientific journals to show that it's called presentiment, where the body picks up the future before it happens.
Wow.
It's so interesting.
Well, I want to ask, since you met up with Dr. Julia Mossbridge and you've learned more about her science, has there been anything that surprised you about everything that you know about the spiritual world and those experiences? What scientific explanations have surprised you or maybe helped explain certain things that you've known?
Well, basically, the fact that there is science proving what many of us in this field have kind of intuitively known or sensed or felt all our lives, and to see that there are now studies showing that there's something there, that this is real, for me has been the biggest revelation. As I said, Dr. Julia's studies into precognition, studies into near-death experiences and afterlife encounters, all of these have just been like, oh my goodness, science is proving. Because I mean, when you work in the field that I do, sometimes you do think, am I going mad? Is this all in my mind? You know, there is always doubt.
Exactly.
And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, because I think when you doubt, it forces you to question further and try and find out more. But sometimes you can think, this is all nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, all there is this material world and nothing more. But then when you're actually seeing that there are scientists now studying consciousness and the inner world, the world of feelings, because that's what the Institute of Noetic Sciences is. Noetic means the inner world. Science is now paying attention to feelings separate from the body, studying it and how it affects us and how it impacts us. And that is, it's such an exciting time to be alive, I think, right now. And science is just becoming so open-minded. And I wonder if it's because there are more women scientists now that we are studying consciousness and in the world more. And that's very interesting, I think, because when it was more male-dominated, it was very much like, you know, you study the external. And I think there is a shift now in science to studying the impact of the internal.
Yeah.
The invisible world, the feeling, thoughts, dreams.
Yeah. For example, with dreams and different dream scenarios, what exactly, how do they study it? What exactly are they finding about that? I'm just curious what the science is.
Well, dreams, I mean, dreams, what are dreams? I mean, we still don't quite know. How is it possible? And I'm sure most people have had this. I mean, I know I certainly had that. You've had a dream and then it plays out again 2 or 3 days later. These are premonitions have been well recorded throughout history. That is amazing with dreams. Also, studies have shown that people who dream of departed loved ones, they are able to move forward with their grief sooner than people who don't, suggesting that this potentially be an afterlife visitation offering comfort. All these, I mean, dreams, scientists are now studying dreams and basically, why do we dream?
Yeah.
What's happening there? What world are we in there? And we still don't know, but the fact that they are actually studying it now, whereas before, if you've gone back like 30 years or so, it'll be, it's a dream, it's nonsense, it's imagination.
Exactly. They wouldn't even look at it back
then. This is so brilliant. And there's scientists now who specialize in it.
That's so exciting.
And basically what we do is, I'm not a scientist, but they recording dreams is the first most important thing to try and see patterns. Mm-hmm. I mean, Julia dreams of a global dream database where maybe we can see through people's dreams to predict the future. She talks about a Google map of the future. She's very futuristic lady, very inspiring. But as I say, I struggle to deal with the science because I'm not going to pretend to be a scientist. And that was my role in the book.
Yeah.
And it was very humbling actually working with someone who is a neuroscientist. And of course, you know, she'd use all this terminology and I'd say, I don't understand.
Yeah, but that's interesting.
I'm just grateful at this age and stage in my life that I've been able to co-author with a scientist. And I hope as the legacy I leave behind is to show, move the movement forward, that there is science to what we're talking about. It's early days yet, because as I said, scientists are only just beginning to explore this now. But it's going to gather momentum,
I see,
in the years that come. And the gap between science and spirit, I think is going to close so fast. It's going to close.
Definitely. I believe so too, eventually. Let's take a break with our sponsor, Blinkist. If you're like me, you have a huge list of books you want to read and it's always expanding. It feels like you'll never get to finish reading all of them. Well, our sponsor, Blinkist, has you covered. Blinkist is an app that takes thousands of best-selling nonfiction books and distills them down to their most impactful elements, so you can listen and learn in under 15 minutes, all on your phone. I love listening to Blinkist in my free time. I like creating tags for topics so I can listen to different things depending on my mood, for example, creativity, business, psychology, or health. The huge library on Blinkist features timeless classics like Getting Things Done by David Allen to current Amazon bestsellers like You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero, two of my favorite books. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/lavendaire to start your free 7-day trial. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/lavendaire to start your free 7-day trial. You can cancel anytime. Again, that's Blinkist.com/lavendaire. And I wanted to ask this because it was mentioned on the website about the book. What are the most common premonitions that people experience and why?
Most common premonitions, some of them can be quite trivial. For example, you have a dream that somebody the next day is going to wear a specific color, and they do. And you can say, well, what's the point of that? It's a waste of time. But even having what you would perceive as relatively trivial premonitions, they are an indication that this is your precognitive muscle is there waiting for you to train it. Because what we say on the website, it's a bit like musical ability. You know, you need to practice. Precognition is a muscle that you need to develop. And just if you're a musician, you'd need to practice daily to get better. Mm. It's the same with precognition. So if you do have things like that, that you have a dream and you find it playing out in daily life, even if it's something very, very trivial, this is a sign that you really need to start working that and see where it can take you. Because studies also show that the more people train and think about the possibility of precognition, the more people have a go at precognition training exercises, the better they can get at sensing the future, predicting the future. So it tends to be in the early stages, unless you're an advanced precog, and we have actually in the website that people who actually score well above average on the test make it into the Hall of Fame, and they can actually call themselves scientifically validated precogs, a bit like Minority Report, really. positive precogs, we call them, but with scientific validation, and they will get a certificate to show that scientifically, because the tests that Judith has devised with her team on the website are absolutely scientific. There's no way that anyone, that any possibility of fraud or cold reading. Mm-hmm. And if you pass those tests or score above average, you can make it to the Hall of Fame. And that's very exciting that somebody can actually be a scientifically validated precog, meaning that they can sense, that they have the ability to sense the future more than other people. I find that very exciting. So to go back to your question, a lot of premonitions tend to be fairly trivial ones early on, but then you can get some dramatic ones, literally, which are life-saving. Where people have a vision of a potential accident or something and avoid going there, and then the accident happened. I have received story after story after story like that from people who've had dreams, powerful dreams or powerful senses about the future, and that has actually saved their life. Those really worth studying. And then, of course, there are people actually...
Sorry, for those situations, do you think the precognition is more of a warning for people? Because I was going to ask, even if someone can see a bit into the future, is it possible to change? I don't know.
Yes.
Okay.
We talk about that. How the future is set, but it's also not set. We always have free will and choice. For example, if you drop a plate, that plate's going to fall on the floor. However, it's possible that if you know it's going to fall, that you can put your hand out and catch the plate.
I see.
So that's what we're trying to say with precognition. It gives you a future that is set if you continue in the current path, if you continue doing what you're doing. However, if you don't like what you see in that future, there's a potential, put your hand out and catch that plate and stop it falling, if you see what I mean. And that is very difficult to explain, and we try and explain it scientifically and how experiments have proved that as well. But yes, it is possible. The future is fixed, but it's not.
Well, I kind of understand. It's almost as if, listening to that, it might be a sign from the universe, kind of, if you stay in this path, this may happen. But it's kind of like a shock. It's trying to shock you to change into a better path.
You're very wise. That's exactly right.
I don't know.
The more you train your psychic abilities or your precognitive abilities, the better able you are to sense when the future ahead is going to be dark or difficult, and to make the required changes to create a better future for yourself. Because that's the whole point, actually, of this precognition experiment, is to help everyone create a better future for themselves and the planet. Because every time somebody improves their life, it helps the planet.
Yeah.
That's the ambitious vision, that everybody becomes more attuned to, kind of makes friends with their future self and wants their future self to be more positive and have a more happy, fulfilling life. And we hope that by training precognitively, that you can start doing that. You can start really sensing future outcomes. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be wonderful if you could wake up and you could kind of sense the day ahead and make the right choices.
Yeah, to me, it actually sounds like precognition is the next level of intuition. It's like intuition on steroids, because we already... Does that make sense? Well, because we already have intuition, which gives us that feeling inside. Well, we can't explain why it happens, but it gives you like this bad feeling when you're around a person who maybe is not a good person, or this bad feeling that if you take this choice and if you say yes, it won't be a good outcome. So I kind of think we all have a little bit of that in us already through intuition, but precognition is like a visual version.
Oh yeah, actually precognition really is the scientific term for intuition. But as you say, it's not quite intuition. It's intuition plus one.
Exactly.
Intuition is a sense. Precognition is a knowing. A genuine precognition is when you just know. And people often say, well, how can I know if it's a premonition or precognition, because premonition and precognition are kind of very, very similar. They are actually similar, mm-hmm. just subtle differences scientifically. But how can you know the difference between precognition and intuition? With precognition, you always want to take action. There's no hesitation. You just know. When you get that feeling that I want to take action now, intuition is a sense, and it makes you doubt and it makes you question. It's a sense that thing. It is a sense that something's going to happen, but you're still asking questions. With precognition, there is an absolute certainty.
Oh, wow.
I know. I mean, I had this myself 20 or so years ago. It was my most powerful premonition when I was at a junction, and I was actually supposed to turn left, but for some reason, I knew I had to turn right, and wow. I did avoid a massive accident because of that. And it was just like, I need to turn right, and I don't know why. And that's what happens. You tend to take action when you have a premonition. You catch a glimpse of a future, or you sense something and you take action. That's what often happens. And that's what when people write to us about their premonitions, it has encouraged them to do something. For example, one of our stories is a lady, her children were playing in a paddling pool, and she just knew she had to take them out. Mm. And a minute or so after she'd taken them out, some dogs charged in, quite vicious dogs. But she didn't know that the dogs were around. It just something said, I need to take action. I don't know why, but I've got to do this. That's real premonition.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Wow. And since we're kind of short on time, I would like to move on to talk about rituals as well, because I want to talk about that book. But is there anything else that you want to say about the premonition code or about precognition for our listeners?
No, as I said, especially if you're a science geek, www.thepremonitioncode.com. It's the future there, really. You'll meet not only Dr. Julia Mossbridge in her go to the precognition training portal. It's totally free. Log in, have a go. It'll be like a bit like going back to university where you'll get some lectures from some amazing scientists on there, and then some of the testing and the quizzes, and see how you do, how you rank, because we got people there doing the tests and seeing how they rank. And you can do it daily. It doesn't matter if you mess up. It doesn't work out that what you predicted, because we have thousands of images on the website, and the aim of the training is to get you to predict what image the computer's going to pick.
Oh.
And first time you do it, you may not get it. You may be completely off, but don't let that put you off. Keep training, keep trying. It's a work in progress, and you can improve over time.
That is so interesting. So are you personally working on improving your precognitive muscle?
I'm trying. It's hard work. Yeah. It is not easy. To become a positive precog, a scientifically validated positive precog, and there are people like that, is tough. It's not, you need the time and you need the discipline. And I'm trying. I'm not there yet, not in any way, but I've never claimed to be psychic.
Yeah.
I have my moments, but training it scientifically is tough. But if you want to see where the science is at,
wow.
Go and check out that website. It makes it accessible, because the thing is, before, nobody knew about it. It was all hidden.
Mm. Well, I'll definitely link that in the show notes so all the listeners can go check that out train their precog muscle as well. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. So fascinating. So let's talk about Rituals, your other book, which is a little more lighthearted, right? It's a book about important rituals for living a fulfilled and happy life.
Yes.
So why rituals? Why are they so important?
Well, rituals, because I felt that there's so much emphasis in New Age personal transformation right now on positive thinking. I mean, I grew up with that, the positive thinking mantra, mm-hmm. affirmations, if you can dream it, you can do it, visualizations, meditation, mindfulness. That's dominated, saturating the market. And that book, The Secret, mm-hmm. of course, swept the world, didn't it? That everybody, you think, therefore you are. Mm-hmm. And I tried it like everybody else. I did all my life I've believed in the power of positive thinking, and I still do, because without positive thinking, you can't, positive thinking is a vital ingredient. It's got to start with the idea, but it's never really worked for me. Sometimes I've been relentlessly positive when I've worked on a book or a project, and it's crashed and burned, and I often used to blame myself. Well, I wasn't thinking positively enough. I was being negative, because it's very hard to fight negative thoughts. And then I began to realize that there was a missing part of the equation, which was positive doing. There's so much emphasis, I think, in our movement on thinking rather than actually doing. So I wanted to correct that. I wanted to write a book which was the other half of the puzzle, because we all know people in life who are all talk and no action. And I suddenly thought, well, maybe the universe is listening to us positive thinkers and saying, I'm waiting for you to actually take action. And then I can actually help you get what you want. Mm-hmm. So it's saying the universe wants to see you do positive doing. And what is the way to be doing something positive? That is ritual. Now, a ritual is a positive action that you give personal meaning to. So it marries positive thinking with positive doing. And all the rituals in the book are very, very simple things. For example, make getting up a bit earlier a ritual. Make not checking your phone a ritual. And it goes through all these things. Make smiling at yourself in the mirror a ritual, because studies show that even if you fake a smile, you feel better. Yeah. Those little things, positive actions you can do that actually can transform your life faster than maybe having a positive thought, if you see what I mean. Oh, yeah. So that when the universe looks down on you, it will think, you're viable now, Teresa Chung, because you're actually doing positive things rather than just living it all in the realm of dreams and possibilities. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of struck a chord, because it's now gone into 14 languages, this book.
Wow.
And I'm very pleased, because I broke into China for the first time. Two Chinese Amazing. Publishers have embraced this book. And really enjoying it, and Russia and Spain and Portugal. It seemed to sort of capture people's imagination, because it's so simple. I'm just saying, well, just simple things each day. Do positive things. Positive doing will change your life. And it's all based around the Aristotle quote, you are what you repeatedly do.
Oh, I love that. I believe that.
For example, if you want to lose weight, thinking, visualizing yourself slim all the time, if you don't actually do the action of exercising and maybe looking at your food choices, it's putting the focus on positive action through the power of ritual,
on doing. And reading all the little rituals that you say in the book, it's impossible not to be happier after doing all these little things. It's more of like, you know that you're going to feel better after, like, smiling at yourself, waking up earlier. It's so obvious.
If you go for a run, for example, you may not feel like it. And in your head, you're thinking, I feel miserable. If you go for a 20-minute run, you're going to feel better. The action of running will have boosted your mood and your well-being. And studies do show now that it's actions that actually impact our lives more than our thoughts. Your negative thoughts is impossible to eliminate them. Actually, negative thoughts are very necessary, because they actually get us. Sometimes they can, you know, be a reminder that we need to maybe try a bit harder. We're always going to have negative thoughts. It's natural. It's a part of life. And I do think that books like The Secret, they make it think like, if something doesn't happen in your life, it's because of your thoughts. And that's such a dangerous way to, I don't subscribe to that.
I agree. Well, I think you definitely need both sides. You need to work out on it with a strong mind, but also, like you said, negative thoughts are natural and sometimes necessary. So you do have to take action. I believe in action as well, like consistent action.
Yeah, and that simple message is often in life when something's quite simple, because that's just the simple message that the book brings, in that, you know, maybe we've just been missing half the equation. And if you want your life to change for the better, you've got to start showing the universe with your actions, not your words. Because I draw the analogy, we all know these people who are all talk. They promise, they say they're going to do something, and then they don't. How does that make you feel? It makes you feel let down. And maybe the universe is looking down at us, at people who are all thinking positive and doing their affirmations and visualizations, but not actually taking the action that reflects that.
So what are some rituals that you practice daily?
Oh, I try. I mean, the 21 rituals in the book, because they're just can be done in a matter of moments. I practice them all, really.
Oh, okay.
I learned gratitude, taking time out, tidying one thing a day, faking a smile, even if I don't feel like smiling, because the physical action of faking a smile, there is research out there, and all the rituals are backed up with research. So you could find out with the footnotes that they're all studies to show faking a smile actually can trick your mind into thinking that you feel better. there are so many simple actions. Even taking a selfie when you fake a smile can actually boost your mood. Things like that, and gratitude, and having positive actions is my mantra now. I want to be a woman of action.
I love it.
More than anything now in my life, because I found that when I'm taking action and I'm doing things, life just feels more fulfilling and rewarding. 10 or so years ago, I was too thinking I could change my world with my thoughts, and I forgot that I had to actually get off my backside and do something.
You have to do something. I agree. I think the times where you feel anxious, afraid, or just not in a good space, it's because you're spending too much time in your head.
Yes.
And when you actually just sit down and do something, it doesn't feel as heavy anymore. Like, it's, things are easier when you're in action.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just take some positive action. Mm. And the book is a guideline. It takes you through a whole day, 21 things you can do in a day that will show the universe that you are viable and somebody who deserves success, and to attract things into your life, because you're not going to get attract good things if you don't send out the message that you are actually willing to take action rather than just think about taking action. And just, I think a lot of us just think if we dream and hope enough that it's going to happen, but it's not. We have to get out there and do.
Yes. Yes. So, Teresa, what are you excited about now, and what is next for you?
Next for me? Well, Rituals has done so well that I've been signed up for 2 more ritual books.
Wow.
A massive Ritual a Day, Ritual Yearbook, and then Rituals to Connect with Nature. It really has. I was very surprised because I thought it would just be a lovely book. But actually, I can see it actually fills a gap in my writing, because a lot of my writing has been quite academic or anecdotal. And then I brought in the scientist. And what was missing was maybe the practical element.
Yeah.
And 21 Rituals actually brought in practical exercises you can do. And people have really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. I think we all need these reminders sometimes that are quite simple and easy to do. I've been signed up to do 2 more of those, which I'm very excited about.
Amazing.
And I've also been working, I recorded a video this week actually with a wonderful lady called Melanie Tony Evans, who is one of the world experts in narcissistic personality disorder. And I've been working with her, looking at the spiritual perspective, because a lot of people who are empaths and sensitive, when they encounter people who are very narcissistic, it's a real clash. And I've been looking at that this is a new thing that I've been working on, looking at. We do live in a world now where more narcissism is taking over, and to try and to counter that with a spiritual perspective. And what do you do when you encounter a narcissist, somebody who actually has zero empathy? That's very hard for somebody who's empathetic and loving and giving to deal with. And we recently recorded a video together about why narcissists tend to target light workers or empaths, and that's doing very well. So I'm working on that. I've also worked with a medium, Claire Broad, in the UK, who I think is a very interesting lady. All sorts of things. I'm forever busy.
I love it. I love that you continue to explore and write and work with, like, you collaborate with so many different types of people. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to actually focus a bit more. I have done masses of collaborations. You know, like, I remember last time I was talking to you about the Jedi Knights and all sorts of things.
Yeah, and I've met Daniel, and he's great.
He's really cool guy, isn't he? Yeah, I know. I do love doing that, because I learn and hopefully they learn. But I think, moving forward, I'm going to be focusing much more on Rituals, because it's done unexpectedly well.
Yeah.
It's quite exhausting, all these collaborations as well.
I'm sure you're super busy. But Rituals is great because I think it's so simple.
Yeah.
So congrats on that. And I'm so happy for you.
Thank you, Lavender. And I look forward to reading your book. One day.
It will come. It will come soon. So now I want to jump into some rapid fire questions. This is something new that I'm doing for this season. So just answer whatever's off the top of your head. What does your dream life look like?
It is like a fairy tale. There's always fairy tale elements in there.
I love that. What is one book or resource that you recommend to everybody?
Apart from my own. That's the trouble. Oh my goodness, it's because I'm so deep into my own project.
You could pick one of your own. What is
I would
one?
Say The Power of Now is
oh yeah, I love that
book
one.
I return to Eckhart Tolle time and time again.
What is one habit or activity that has changed your life?
Getting up earlier.
What time do you get up?
5 or 6.
Wow. Yeah, that's something that I need to work on. But what is
it's easier when you get older, when you get to my age, it does get easier. But I find that those golden hours in the morning where it's peaceful and quiet is where you set the intention for the rest of the day, the tone. And I do find actually now if I sleep in and I miss that opportunity to get organized and have some time just to focus, that my day never pans out as well.
Yeah, that's good advice, to have that me time in the morning.
Yeah, just a bit of quiet and also to sort of set the tone. And I try to avoid looking at my email or my phone, because if I do that, the message I'm sending out to the universe, I guess, is that everybody else's needs are more important. Or, you know, I'm not focusing on what my intention is for the day. It's very hard because, you know, it becomes quite addictive, when, especially when you're busy and you've got things to answer. But I try to use that time to plan out the next chapter of my book, or what I want to focus on. Or simply tidy up sometimes because the house is a mess.
Yeah. So next question is, best life or career advice you've ever gotten?
Best, oh gosh, do something you love. Yeah, do something you love. And a lot of people don't quite know what that is. And this is, what does make your heart sing? Because it's got, if you're passionate about it, go where your heart is, because when you do that, good things follow. Because so often in my life, I've done things because I thought, oh, that sounds good. Or that'll make me look good. Oh, that's going to pay me a lot. And they've never really given me the fulfillment of when it's something that I'm really excited about. There's nothing beats getting up in the morning because you're working on a project and you can't wait to get to it. And it's awful when you're working on a project and you're just doing it because you've got to fulfill the contract, or, you know, it's just wonderful if you can find something. Basically, if you can do something that you do for free.
Yeah.
You do it anyway, whether you're paid or not. That is bliss, I think. Yes.
And lastly, finish the sentence. The most amazing part about life is?
Possibilities, yeah, and learning. Learning. I think that's why we're here. We're here to learn and to grow.
I agree. All right. Well, thank you so much, Teresa. This was so much fun. And I am just so proud of what you're doing. I think the work that you're doing is very important. And you're so courageous to put it out there. Also, your zest for life is very contagious.
Oh, thank you. And I'm in awe of what you do. Honestly, you reach so many people that I could never dream of through the beautiful way that you present everything. I mean, I get your newsletters and everything, and it's absolutely divine. You know, you've been touched by something.
Thank you so much.
And you have a way of reaching people that someone like me could never do. And just keep, don't ever stop doing it, please.
Thank you so much. You're so sweet. So lastly, where can our listeners find you online?
Oh, www.teresachung.com. And I'm also on Facebook. I have an author page on Facebook.
Yes. So listeners, make sure you check out her newest books, Premonition Code and Rituals. I'll have all the links to her website and the books down below, as well as your previous works that I've been a big fan of, like the Birthday Encyclopedia book and the Dreams.
Still doing so well.
I know. The Dream books. Those two are so
fun. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. I hope you have a great day.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye. Now I am so curious to hear what you guys think of this conversation, what you think about Teresa. If you are in that Lavender Lifestyle Facebook group, definitely share your thoughts and your feedback there. I would love to see it, just to hear what you guys are thinking. To be honest, when Teresa reached out to me about her book, The Premonition Code, months ago, I was a little bit skeptical. I was like, ooh, this topic is so left field. It's so strange. It's definitely not something that you hear every day. It's not something regularly or widely accepted. So yeah, just like the ability to see into the future and scientifically backing that, I thought it was so different and I didn't know what to expect. And to be honest, even though she sent me the copy, I only read the first chapter and I didn't give it a deep dive. But after this conversation, I'm definitely interested in picking up that book again and reading it through, just seeing what they find, because I'm so curious about that scientific part. And to me, the most exciting thing about this conversation is just knowing that there are people out there, scientists out there, trying to study and learn more about spirituality and consciousness, about the inner world. Because for so long, science and spirituality were kind of like very separate things. It's just a very exciting time to be in, and I'm proud to know someone like Teresa who's doing work in this field and bridging that gap and learning more and more and more about the human experience, the spiritual experience, and trying to make sense of it all. I also appreciate her reminder that rituals and taking positive actions, little positive actions every day, is so important in driving our life forward, in kind of manifesting the life we desire. Manifesting is not just about positive thoughts and thinking yourself into the future that you want, but also just physically doing those things. Sometimes we get caught up in on one end or the other, and I really think you do need both. You need to have the mindsets and the thoughts that are positive, but also taking those positive actions. And by positive actions, it's just simple things like putting your phone away, smiling to others, being kind to strangers, simple things like that that make us feel so much better in the now. And I loved that she mentioned that negative thoughts are necessary sometimes. Sometimes they're impossible to not have. It's just a natural part of being human, and negative thoughts are there to sometimes protect us or make us aware of what we should be aware about. So that was nice. And lastly, I just love Teresa. I don't know, for some reason, she just has a great energy about herself. She's very sweet. And even though she's so accomplished, she's been working in this field for so many years, like decades, she's still so humble and real, and she sees you like eye to eye. I just love that about her. So I hope that you guys can feel that too through the podcast. She is just shining her light, doing what she loves. She seems excited about everything that she works on. And I think that feeling that she gives off is a result of that, and that feeling is contagious. It makes me wish that I can leave that feeling to every person that I speak to. I think it's very important. You can just tell that someone's living their best life by how you feel just by being around them. I think, yeah, that tells a lot. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed this one. Have a beautiful day, and I will see you guys or talk to you guys next time. All right, that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening to The Lavender Lifestyle. If you like this podcast, please show your support by leaving a review on iTunes. Next, make sure you check out the 2019 Artist of Life workbook and the Daily Planner by Lavender on my website, lavender.com/shop. Lastly, you can catch me on YouTube and Instagram at Lavender, where I have even more content for the Artist of Life. Sending you so much love. Bye.